on air via relay partners around the globe. This show is from Hobart Radio International, down under in Australia.
Proudly on air via affiliate stations channel 292 on 6070 broadcasting to Europe, Radio Miami International on 9955 broadcasting to the Americas, over the weekends on Premier Radio, Radio Space Shuttle, Cupid Radio and Focus International. We're on World FM 88.2 FM in Tawa, New Zealand, Thursday afternoons.
From Hobart, Australia, DX Extra. From Hobart, Tasmania, Australia, welcome to the DX Extra. It's a show about the shortwave hobby featuring news, reviews, pirate radio, and anything in between. We are the extra thing you need to digest your shortwave news. And as we begin the show, please do excuse my croaky voice. I've had a cold this week. In show 28 this fortnight, Nepali amateur net suspended again. The QSL card cost. VOA additional transmissions to Burundi. IBB frequency updates. Pirate news, border hunter meeting, logs and recordings. And from the audio archive, Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. 18th of May 2015. Amateur radio emergency operations on 20 meters resumed in the aftermath of the second Nepal earthquake now have been suspended, according to Jupiter. VU2JAU, the Amateur Radio Society of India National Coordinator for Disaster Communication. Bidet said he discussed the situation on May 17th with Satish Karel, 9N1AA, and that the decision was based on the fact that all systems in the affected region are working normally. VU2JAU, 9N1AA and others have been among those active on 14210 MHz since the initial earthquake on April the 25th. Amateur radio relief activity in Nepal had begun winding down before a magnitude 7.3 earthquake shook parts of the Himalayan nation on May the 12th, collapsing buildings and killing dozens in a region that's still trying to recover from the much stronger earthquake on April the 25th. The latest quake revived the ham radio effort. Centered some 50 miles northeast of the Nepalese capital of Kathmandu and near the border with Tibet, the tremblor was felt in India and Bangladesh. The US Geological Survey considers the May 12th tremor as an aftershock of the magnitude 7.8 earthquake on April 25th. The Army Military Auxiliary Radio System, MARS, has been continuing to gather information and statistics on the earthquake tragedy in Nepal. Sanjeev Pandey, 9N1SP, has been passing traffic to Tim McFadden, T6TM, KB2RLB, a Mars operator in Afghanistan. Among other information, Hyundai told McFadden that 8,250 people died as a result of the earthquakes and nearly 480,000 residences were destroyed. Another 263,000 were damaged. Once Tim receives Nepal disaster traffic, he has been preparing SpyRep and ComSpot reports as needed and then relaying them through Mars networks to HQ, Army Mars, and me, Daniel Wolf, KA7AGN, the Mars UCOM CENTCOM AFRICOM Regional Director. He also has been posting the information to the Nepal Disaster APAN All Partners Access Network website. Twice now, he has self-activated upon learning of disaster events in Nepal. Wolf said, APAN is a collection of communities developed to foster information and knowledge sharing between the US Department of Defense and non-DOD entities who do not have access to traditional DOD networks. The May 18th information summary indicates that things are starting to return to normal in Nepal's capital, Kathmandu. Residents are reporting to be moving back into the city and more stores and restaurants are reopening. Access to remote areas remain a critical issue with landslides and rains expected to aggravate the condition of roads, the report added. Ironically, the scenario for last year's Mars Pacific Endeavour 14 regional disaster response was a major earthquake in Nepal. Wolf said McFadden and Hyundai have been in regular contact through the earthquake disaster. They exchange traffic related to the disaster recovery effort almost daily, he told ARRL. That information is channeled up through Mars networks, through HQ, Army Mars, and to various customers as appropriate. And that was via ARRL. The history of the QSL card and verification letter is almost as old as radio itself. The exchange of cards after a contact, QSO, is still an important part of the amateur radio hobby for many hams worldwide. And listeners find this part of the hobby especially fascinating, proudly amassing vast collections of cards and letters from stations across the globe. But things have changed somewhat for shortwave listeners in the last 15 years. With the disappearance from the bands of many international and domestic shortwave broadcasters, it's much harder now to gather together a large QSL collection. Furthermore, these broadcasters still in operation often no longer responsible for passing on listeners' reports to their technical department, because the technical department no longer exists. Many stations now outsource, that subcontract, the distribution of their broadcasts to other companies that are specifically set up to handle the technical management and implementation of their transmissions. As an example, for years now, Radio Australia has been outsourcing its broadcast to a large multi-layered independent broadcasting transmission provider called Broadcast Australia. This company owns and operates the existing Shepparton transmitter site and determines the frequencies and schedules for Radio Australia broadcasts. The programming division of Radio Australia has virtually nothing to do with the Broadcast Australia. So if an overseas listener writes to Radio Australia commenting on reception conditions at their location, none of that feedback gets back to Broadcast Australia. This situation is the same for quite a number of international broadcasters these days. A few broadcasters are still relying on regular communication for their nominated monitors, DXs with specific technical skills who report back every week or so with detailed notes on how reception has been in the targeted region. Other stations have abandoned the monitors and are using global remote receivers to access their signal quality. Over the years, in the view of many shortwave broadcasters, the importance and relevance of reception reports has diminished significantly. Detailed technical information about signal strength, interference, and propagation characteristics are of no interest to a station's programming staff. They just want to know your thoughts on their program content. Their reply with a QSL card is merely a glorified acknowledgement of your report and a thank you for taking the time to write and provide feedback, in the hope that you will continue listening in the future. Call it a marketing exercise. And of course, many smaller domestic shortwave stations are largely focused on their own local and national audiences. They are not especially interested in receiving reception reports from international listeners. If they do indeed reply to a DX report, they are often responding only as an act of courtesy and generosity. Europe and North America have flourishing pirate radio communities. The vast majority of these stations are active verifiers with brightly coloured cards and eQSLs. Of course, many of these operators were once shortwave listeners themselves and understand the significance of the reception report. They are keen to build their audiences and genuinely interested to know how far their signals are travelling. After all, they have both the programming and technical departments of their illegal operations all wrapped up in one. Here in Australia, we haven't had pirate activity on a significant scale for many years now, mainly due to a very proactive and successful approach to law enforcement, and the signals from European and American pirates don't reach our shores due to their much lower power. So where does this leave the shortwave listeners' much-loved QSL card collection? Amateur radio operators still exchange cards and eQSLs. Shortwave listeners who monitor ham transmissions are often acknowledged by many operators happy to exchange cards with them. But for the SWBC DXR, it's certainly much harder to build a collection these days. Which brings us around to the title of this week's post. As we have seen here, it is clear that in at least a few cases, persistence can sometimes pay off when a listener sends follow-ups to their original reception reports. But at what point does sending multiple follow-ups constitute harassment of stations that don't really care about receiving your reports? Not to mention the high costs of postage, stationery, dollar bills, postcards, stamps, and other inducements incurred by the listener. And as we have also seen here, abusing broadcasters because they don't deliver on your request for a QSL certainly doesn't work. Shortwave listeners need to be mindful that when a station acknowledges a reception report, responding to your request requires time, energy, money, and motivation to divert their limited staff and resources. If reports are no longer useful for many stations, then there have to be other reasons why a station would bother replying to you. Some listeners include superficial comments relating to the broadcast heard. Token comments can usually be seen by staff for what they are worth, not very much. Listeners who take the time to include meaningful observations and feedback about programs will have a much better chance of gaining the attention and interest of station producers. And that was via the Mount Evelyn DX blog. You're listening to programming by Hobart Radio International.
We're on FM into New Zealand and via the shortwave band into Europe, the Americas and beyond.
See us on the web at hriradio.org. Washington, D.C. Voice of America today began boosting broadcasts to Burundi, where at least 14 people have been killed and more than 200 injured in protest against President Pierre Nkurunziza running for a third time. VOA has additional shortwave and FM broadcast in Kurundi, Kinyarwanda, Kishwali, French and English, with an expanded call-in show, more reporting from the ground, and new drive-time newscasts. At this critical moment for democracy in Burundi, we are stepping up to keep our audiences informed, says VOA director David Ensor. Voters deserve to know what is going on with presidential elections just 1 month away. The African Union and the United States says the Nkurunziza candidacy violates a regional peace deal that ended civil war in 2005. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry says the president's move flies directly in the face of the constitution of his country. President Nkurunziza says he is exempt from the two-term limit because his first term was chosen by parliament. VOA is one of the last remaining sources of news in Burundi after authorities blocked access to social media, closed Radio Public African, and suspended relay transmissions for two other independently owned stations, Boncha FM and Insanganiro. The Committee to Protect Journalists condemns this harassment and says the Nkurunziza government is blatantly trying to gag coverage of its opponents. VOA is adding reporters in Burundi and Rwanda, along with additional staff in Washington, D.C., where its U.S. government-funded transmissions originate. Daily broadcasts air on 95.2 FM and 94.9 FM in Bujumbura and on 104.3 FM in Kigali. With thousands of Burundians fleeing to neighbouring Rwanda, Tanzania and the Democratic Republic of Congo, VOA is committed to providing accurate and reliable news to this critical region, says Ensor. Monday through Friday in Kinyarwanda and Kirundi languages, 4 to 5:30 UTC 7350, 9815 and 11905, 16 to 16:30 UTC 13630, 15460 and 17530. 19:30 to 20 hours UTC 9470, 11615 and 12140. And that was via the Mount Evelyn DX blog.
This is Hobart Radio International, the voice of Tasmania.
Reception reports are always welcome for electronic QSL verification. To send one, email hriradio@gmail.com and check out the website at hriradio.org. We have some new changes for IBB. Radio Free Asia from May 14th, 13 to 14 hours UTC 11595, Central Asia Tibetan X 11605, 16 to 17 hours UTC on 12035, Central Asia in Uyghur X 12075, Radio Liberty from May the 14th, 14 to 15 hours UTC on 15180, Central Asia in Uzbek, X 15480. Voice of America from May the 14th, 14 to 15 hours, 17595, Central Asia Tibetan, X 17570. Voice of America from May the 16th, 16 to 17 hours, 15505, Central Asia, Tibetan, Monday, X 15495, 16 to 17 hours UTC on 11910, Central Asia, Tibetan, Tuesday, X 15505, 16 to 17 hours UTC, 15505, Central Asia in Tibetan on Wednesday, X 15495. 16 to 17 hours UTC on 11910 to Central Asia in Tibetan on Thursday, X 15505. 16 to 17 hours UTC on 15505, Central Asia, Tibetan on Friday, X 15495. 16 to 17 hours UTC on 11910. Central Asia, Tibetan on Saturday, X15505. And 16 to 17 hours UTC on 11910. To Central Asia, Tibetan on Sunday, X15505. And that was via the Shortwave Central blog. Wherever you are, however you tune in,
you're listening to the International Service of Australia,
the voice of Tasmania, Hobart Radio International, or HRI for short,
on the web at hriradio.org.
Starting off with some pirate radio news. From the 3rd to the 5th of July 2015, everyone of distinction in the free radio scene meets once again, both listeners and stations. On this particular weekend, it's provisionally planned that the next Border Hunter Summer meeting, well known and well loved across Europe, will take place in the first weekend of July. Only those who already know about this fantastic meeting know what the homestayers miss. Radio Border Hunter will organise a meeting for friends of the free radio and pirate hobby. This is not only unique, but will also remain unsurpassed, that we promise all hobbyists. In order that we can plan better, we request that you let us know when you are coming, in advance if possible, as we want to make sure that we have enough food beforehand, for example. Reservations, applications, and questions should be directed to the following email address: summermeeting2015, that's 2015, at hotmail.com. Again, summermeeting2015 at hotmail.com, or to P.O. Box 2702, 6049 ZG, Herten, H-E-R-T-E-N, the Netherlands. The exact route to our meeting will be given in advance. Most of you will know it from previous years. Our motto for this meeting, as always, is come, see, be amazed, be at home. And you can find out more at summermeeting.net. And that was via the Shortwave DX blog. Here are the Europirate logs for the last weekend and this week. Tuesday, May the 19th, 2015, 6300 at 17 hours 30, Radio Merlin International. Music from Mike and the Mechanics, The Fortunes, The Beach Boys, and The Moody Blues. Fair but noisy signal, SINPO 43233. 6205 at 19 hours 55, Shortwave Gold, Soul, Oldies, including George Benson, Fair Signal, Occasional Fading, SINPO 43323. On Sunday, May the 3rd, 2015, 6300, 8 hours 10, Radio Condor, Dance Music and IDs, Weak Signal with some Fair Peaks, SINPO All Threes. 6250 at 9 hours 40, Radio Casanova, Dutch Songs and IDs, Fair Signal, SINPO 43333. 6400 at 16 hours 5, Radio Joey Europop, Instrumental and Dutch Music, Fair to Good Signal, SINPO 44333. 6305 at 17 hours 25, Radio Telstar, Dutch Songs and IDs, Good Signal, SINPO 44344. 6320 at 17 hours 35, Radio Zort Panther, playing Dutch music, SINPO 43333. 6240 at 19 hours UTC, Radio Experience, playing dance music, strong signal, SINPO 54444. 6382, 19 hours 20 UTC Radio, Veronica playing Dutch music, strong signal, SINPO 54444. 6320 at 19 hours 35 Radio Montefeland, oldies including Lips Incorporated, Funky Town, and Diana Ross Upside Down. Strong signal, SINPO 54444. 6380 at 20 hours 15 Little Feet Radio, oldies including Level 42 and Eternal. Fair to good signal, SINPO 43433. 13800 20 hours 28 Radio Space Shuttle, Finnish music and comedy sketches including a version of Rasputin. Strong signal, SINPO 54444. 6915 at 20 hours 40 Premiere Radio, music from Chuck Berry, The Stunning and Odyssey. Good signal, SINPO 43444. Saturday, May the 16th, 2015, 6205 at 6 hours 10, Radio King Shortwave. Oldies and soft rock music, including the Bry House and Rastrick Band, Floral Dance, Weak to Fair Signal, SINPO, all threes. 6295 at 18 hours UTC Radio, Shadow Man, music from Fiction Factory, Feels Like Heaven, and Foreigner, Cold as Ice. Strong signal, SINPO 54444. 6385 at 18 hours 35 Radio Universe, oldies including Bobby Fuller, I Fought the Law. Fair signal, SINPO 34333. 6305 at 18 hours 50 Radio Quintus, music from The Supremes, Neil Sedaka, Fergal Shaky, and Alvin Stardust. Strong signal, SINPO 54444. 6910 21 hours 2 UTC Premiere Radio, oldies including Ronnie Hilton, Motorhead, and the Stalin Vocal Band. Good signal, SINPO 43444. And European logs are via Irish Paul's radio blog. Looking over to North America, BB King and Blues, 6924.3 AM mode, 1 hour 22 UTC on the 20th of May. Pirate Clip Radio, 6919.6 AM mode, 22 hours 57 UTC on the 19th of May. Big Johnson Radio, 6950 Upper Sideband, 1 hour 16 UTC, 18th of May. Big Boobs Radio, they call it that. 6924.25 AM mode at 2 hours 20 UTC on May the 15th. And American logs are via the HF Underground Forum. The DX Extra is being relayed via the following affiliate stations: World FM 88.2 FM in Tawa in Wellington in New Zealand. On shortwave via channel 292 6070, 16 hours UTC Saturdays. WRMI Radio Miami International 9955 at 3 hours 30 to 4 hours UTC on Sundays. Over the weekends, we're on Cupid Radio, Premier Radio, Radio Space Shuttle, and Focus International. And I forgot to mention, we're also on the Area 51 program on WBCQ in the United States of America on 5110, Monday at 3 hours 30 UTC. That's about 8:30 p.m. PDT on a Sunday evening. Before we go, it's time to get an audio clip out of the archives. This is a shortwave recording of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. The clip is from the Shortwave Listening Blog.
الإسلامية في إيران.
Until next time, remember, shortwave radio is still full of mysteries. Keep tuning and keep reporting. Take care and stay safe.
From down under in Australia, goodbye. Hobart Radio International, signing off.